Let's begin the Masechta Sukkah. The Masechta Sukkah begins with the Halachas of Sukkah, and the Achorim wonder why they start with Hilchas Sukkah, not with the Hilchas Lulav, the Dalaminim. So they explain because one thing is Sukkah begins before the Dalaminim. Why? Because you have to start preparing for building the Sukkah prior to it. And also the truth is you eat in the Sukkah the night before, as opposed to Lulav, and that's what you don't do until the next day. So the Sukkah, in fact, really comes first. And others give the explanation that, no, there are certain years where you might not be able to Mekayim, Dalaminim, Deraisa, because if day one falls out on Shabbos, and outside of Yerushalayim, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the only mitzvah is on day one. So if day one falls on Shabbos, the halacha is we don't have a Dalaminim on Shabbos. So that year, you only have a mitzvah derabanan of Lulav the rest of the time, as opposed to Sukkah, no matter what, no matter where, there's always going to be a mitzvah Deraisa of Sukkah. So the Mishnah begins as follows. Sukkah shigvoan lemalim esim amma. A sukkah that is above 20 amos and above psula. It's a puzzle sukkah. And the Gemara is going to explain why that is. Yehuda machshir. Yehuda thinks no. Even though it's above 20 amos, it's still considered a kosher sukkah. That's point one in terms of the height. Point two, the Mishnah says v'she'enu gvoa asar tefachim. If it's not 10 tefachim high, a tefach is around 4 inches, so it's below 40 inches. V'she'en la, let's read that, shlosha defanos, it does not have three walls. V'shechamasa meruba mitzilasa, and if it has more sunlight than shade, it's going to be pasul as well. So, there are really four halachas in the Mishnah. One's debated about, three others are not. So, one's in terms of how high, one's in terms of how low, one's in terms of how many walls, and the last one's about how much shade versus sunlight. Very important Rashi. Rashi in the top, three lines from the top, says v'shechamasa meruba mitzilsa. When there's more sunlight than shade, it's pasul. Hamuat batel berov harehu kimishena. Very interesting Rashi. He says that when there's more sunlight than shade, we view it as bitel berov. Bitel berov means if there's normally we have the din of a little milk falls into meat, we apply the bitel shishim, not rov, but bitel shishim. Sometimes you have bitel berov. Let's say you have three pieces of meat, and then one's kosher, one is treif, and they get mixed together, we apply bit of barov, you're allowed to eat the piece of meat. Machlokas, could you eat all three? Machlokas, could you eat two of the three? But that's bit of barov. Very strange, Rashi applies a din of bit of barov here. There's no tarovis, there's no mixture. We only apply bit of barov when there's a mixture of some sort, where you don't know, when you can't recognize the that which is us or that which is pasul. But here, there's a clear distinction where the shade is, where the sunlight is. There's a very strange application of Rashi saying bit of barov. So there's a... Yeah?
Even in the Tanya said, but till,
right. Well, so that's a different discussion in terms of pinimius versus here halacha, how we apply halacha. But so Stipler says the governing principle here is not bitul barov. What Rashi really means to say is rubo kikulo. It's another concept. Whenever there's rov, we view rov as really taking over the entire thing. So although you could recognize the mi'ut, the minority, we still apply rubo kikulo, and it's mashma from the Ran, something like along those lines as well. And then Rashi continues, and that same Rashi says, very important, he says, v'al shem haschach kriya sukkah. Why is it called schach? Why is it called sukkah? Because it's the important part, the ikar part of sukkah is not the walls. The ikar part of the sukkah is the schach. That's the ikar part. And we'll see Rashi throughout this page and the next seems to emphasize the idea of schach as opposed to other Rishonim emphasize the concept of defanos plus the schach. Everybody agrees the schach is very important. The question is, do the defanos also play an important role in terms of the sukkah? Rashi always emphasizes the schach. The ra'ah emphasizes the entire surroundings of the walls plus the schach. There are nafkaminas, and one nafkamina is whether or not there's a kedusha to the walls as well as the schach. We'll get to that later in a week or so. So the Gemara says now, Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah in Erevin tells us, Mavoi shu gavoa me as esrim ama, a mavoi that is a 20 amos high yima. So Rashi explains all these things, but in my Masifta, I have beautiful pictures in the back. The sukkah comes with a special edition of pictures here.
I bought a book with a picture.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Forgot to bring it.
Oh, okay. Well, you have mine here. There's beautiful pictures here. So instead of me having to describe what it looks like, I'll just show you what it looks like. So these things are a mavo, right? Mavo is like, these are houses and courtyards, and in the center, like alleyway, where they all meet together, it's like a driveway almost, that's the alleyway in between. This is a mavo, this is a mavo, these are all mavois, where the center between the house. Exactly. So we're talking about when there's a korah, that's this beam above, which normally The halacha is that in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim you can't carry midiraisa. It's usher to carry without on Shabbos without an Erev. In a Mavoi, it's only usher midirbanan to carry because it's not really Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but it's usher. If you place a korah there, it's supposed to be a reminder to kind of close it off, then you could carry within that Mavoi area. But the problem is, if the korah is too high, no one's going to recognize it. They say, yeah, comparing the halacha of a Mavoi, the height of a Mavoi, the korah of the Mavoi, to the height of a sukkah. So the Gemara says again, Tanan Hasam, a Mavoi Shu Gavah Me'esim Amma, the Mavoi, or really the Korah, the beam, that's 20 Amos above, 20 Amos high, Yimat, you have to lower it down. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Tzarech, you don't need to lower it down. All right, so it seems very parallel discussions about the height, whether too high is possible according to Chachamim in both cases, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Kasher in both cases. The Gemara asks, Maishna Gavi Sukkah, the Tani Psula, Maishna Gavi Mavoi, the Tani Tekanta. Why, when it came to sukkah, is simply that the Chacham said it's pasul, it's disqualified. When it came to the Mavoi, it didn't say it's pasul, it says yimat, it tells you how to fix it. So it shouldn't have said in sukkah also, don't say that schach is pasul, say yimat, lower the schach. Or maybe it should have said by the Mavoi, don't say yimat, say psula. It should have been consistent in the language that was used in both contexts. So the Gemara explains, sukkah deraisa tani psula. Mavoi derbanan tani takanta. Since sukkah is talking about din deraisa, so then it's going to be completely disqualified. Lashon psula is really across the board. You can say pasul. It has no, you haven't accomplished anything. But a mavoi that's only a din derabanan, you can't talk about pasul. You can't talk about being disqualified because midaraisa, you don't need a korah. You don't need the mavoi at all. It's okay. So they couldn't use the lashon psula. Was really not appropriate to be used in the case of the mavoi. So therefore, since you couldn't teach psula, they taught the takanta how to fix the problem. That's answer one. V'bayisema. B'deraisa nami tani tekanta. No, even in deraisas, it would always teach how to fix the problem. So if they always teach the fixing instead of just saying puzzle, why didn't they teach the takana how to fix it by the sukkah? So the Gemara explains, miu sukkah, we'll read the parentheses here, d'nafisha milsa pasuk v'tani psula. Mavo d'lo nafisha mile tani tekanta. Sukkah, to explain how to fix the schach, you have to say, you have to take the schach off, lower the walls, and then put the schach back on. There's a lot more to speak about. It's more wordy for the sukkah case. That's for us to remember in very shorthand, in very, very shorthand. They didn't want to write so much, it's harder to remember. So they chose the shorter version of it. Those are Gemara's Mitzvah in the beginning, talk about a person when he speaks, he should really use less words and be short. So here too also, since you have the options of, you could have taught the fix, but the fixing would have been too many words to say, they therefore opted for teaching simply psula. So Gemara says, how do we know that if a sukkah is too high, that's going to be possible? What's the source? So Gemara says, I'm a rabba. The pasuk says, Leman yedu dorasechem. Keep a sukkah so shaftis b'nei Yisrael. So you should sit in the sukkah, or that they should know, that Klai said, we should know that we sat in sukkahs in the midbar. So first of all, this is one of the few mitzvahs that there's a strongly advised to have kavana as to the understanding, the purpose of the mitzvah. Every mitzvah you have to have l'shem mitzvah. You're doing it for the l'shem mitzvah. I'm putting tefillin l'shem mitzvah. But you don't have to always understand why we're doing the mitzvahs. Sukkah is one of the unique places where you're supposed to realize, think about why am I sitting in the sukkah, and you're supposed to think two reasons, the machlokas tanaim, what the reason that we sit in the sukkah is. Some say because they actually sat in sukkahs in the midbar. Others say it's supposed to remind us of the nani hakavod.
Sukkah or tents?
Sukkah is a hut, I think they
no, say. But they in the midbar, they build in sukkot, actually sukkot or tents, or oil.
Oh, I'm not sure if an ohel necessarily means a tent, though. Does it mean a tent? Ohel means, literally in Hebrew, means just like a covering. We always view it as a tent.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it necessarily, I don't know exactly what the structure looks like.
You see the pictures, so you see tents.
Right.
Any tents.
Right. I'm not sure who drew the pictures. I'm not sure how they would know. But it's mashma from this, from one of the sources, that they actually sat in the sukkahs, probably similar to what we sat in. I guess I never really thought about it, but yeah, I don't really know. Okay, so that's the pasuk you're supposed to have in mind when you sit in the sukkah. Why we're sitting in the sukkah because they sat in sukkahs in the midbar, or because to remind us of the nani hakavod. Either way, the Gemara explains ad esrim ama up until 20 amos adam yodeh shudar b'sukkah. Person knows he's sitting in a sukkah. The malam esrim ama ein adam yodeh shudar b'sukkah mishum delo shilta be'einai. Very important. Person's eyes doesn't go up there. So what does that mean exactly? So Rashi explains, Dilo Shilta Be'ena, you see that? It's a little bit towards the bottom. It's around 10 narrow lines up. It says, She'ena Roa es Haschach, he doesn't see the Schach, V'sukkah haynu schach kishma. This is Rashi again emphasizing the schach. Schach, schach. Not emphasizing the final schach. The problem is, a person's eyes, the ceiling's so high, you don't recognize the ceiling. There's 20 amos, so then a person, you just kind of leans back, you can notice the schach is right there.
What is amma again?
An amma, it's from your elbow to the middle finger. That's an amma. It's around a foot and a half to 2 feet, depending on each person's arm. Recognize the schach. So if I remember correctly, I think the Ra'ah writes on this line, he says, he's not going to recognize that he's completely surrounded by the walls and by the schach. He emphasizes both elements of the schach and the defanos, as opposed to Rashi, he emphasizes simply the schach. So that's the Ra'ah, l'shitasa, throughout the sugi, he emphasizes the being surrounded from all ends, from the walls and from the schach. So the Gemara explains now that's according to Rabbah. Rabbi Zeira gives another explanation as to why 20 amos and above is possible. Rabbi Zeira Amar, mehacha, from the following is the source. The sukkah tihelet sel, yomam, mechorev. So the sukkah should be for shade in the daytime, from the chorev, from the sun, from the heat. So ad esim ama adam yoshev etzel sukkah. The malam esim adam, me esim ama, ein adam yoshev etzel sukkah, el etzel defanos. So when the walls are so high, and they're above 20 amos, the schach isn't providing you the shade. It's the walls that are so high, they're blocking the sun.
It's not.
Well, if the sun is right above you, then not.
Just think about a cloud.
Yeah, let's go to the pictures.
Yeah. Oh, hold that down, same book.
About yeah.
No, but think about a cloud. When the sun is glowing over the cloud, so on the ground, even the cloud is, you know, I don't know, I mean, here on WhatsApp, you see the shade. Imagine a cloud.
Right.
Imagine a sun.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a spot in the ground that will be shade on the ground because of that cloud.
And therefore what?
Therefore that the schach, no matter what height will be, in some points of the ground, you'll have shade as well. And he said that...
Because of the cloud, you're saying?
Because of the schach. I give the cloud as a mashal.
You need shade. The shade has to be provided from the schach, not from the walls.
I understand.
So if the walls are so high, does he have a picture? Does he have a picture here? Maybe the next page. If the schach is so high, so then the sun...
Maybe it won't give you the shade in the spot that you're sitting at. Okay.
Right? Like the sun's there, let's say.
Yeah.
So the wall is going to provide the... But if the schach is lower, then it's the schach that's going to provide.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see where he has this. Okay. Oh, yeah, he has it here. Okay.
See?
Exactly, but over here there will be no...
Yes.
Okay.
If you decide if not, it won't be effective.
So that's the understanding of Rabbi Zeira, that again, based on this pasuk found in Yeshaya, you have to have the tzel that comes from the schach. Okay. Gemara says now, Amar le Abai. Abai asks to Rabbi Zeira, Elam Yat, if that's the case, Ha'osa sukaso be'ashtaros karnayim, somebody who sits... in a valley. A nice picture of the valley here. Stop right in the middle of the valley here. Huge mountains along both sides. If that's the case, so Abai asks, it shouldn't be sukkah, because here, he's not getting the shade from the schach, he's getting the shade from the mountain. The mountain's blocking any sunlight. So that should be possible also, but for some reason we know that shouldn't be, that's not going to be possible. But according to the reasoning of Rabbi Zeira, you have to explain why it's not possible. Amalei, so Rabbi Zeira responds back to Abaye, Hasam dal asheres kanayim, he could sail sukkah. There, in the case of the valley, if you move, knock out the mountains, so there's going to be the sun, the schach will be providing the shade. Hacha dal defanos, here, if you remove the walls, lekat sail sukkah, there's no sail sukkah. That's that case here. If you take out the walls here, the schach's not providing any tzel. It's too high off the ground to provide any tzel. So, it's really this, the case has to be that the schach has to have the potential in the positioning to create shade. If it's too high, it won't provide shade. That's the point. Okay. So that says the Gemara further now. That's two answers. Rava comes along and gives a third source as to why a tall sukkah is possible. Rava Amar Mehacha from the following. Besukos teishru shivas yamim. You're supposed to sit in a sukkah for 7 days. Amar Torah kol shivas yamim. Say midyas keva. All 7 days you're supposed to remove yourself from a permanent living space. Vishay bidyas arayin, sit and live in a temporary dwelling. Ad Eshem Amma Adam Ose Dirasa Dirasarai. Up until 20 amos, a person can make a temporary building. It's made of some wood and some whatever material you might use, canvas. So up until that, that person can make a temporary tent. However, Lemal Mesem Amma, once a person has to go above 20 amos, the structure is going to fall if it's not strong enough. So you know the most of Dirasa Dirasarai, Diras Keva. A person can only make a Diras Keva. You're making a strong building, it won't withstand if it's made of just wood, not nailed together strongly. You need something, you need metal, you need brick, you need something heavier or stronger wood. So that's the problem of it's, that's why it can't be so high, because it's forcing you to make a Diras Keva. So Amar Lei Abai asks, if according to this, it's all about making a Diras Arai, a temporary dwelling space, and not a Diras Keva, he asks, so also Mechitzel Shabarzel, you let's say make a small sukkah out of metal, really strong metal. It's small, but this is permanent. This thing isn't moving. And then you place some schach on top of that. This shouldn't be a sukkah either, because you've made a permanent dwelling. You made a small shed. Okay, it's small, but it's still keva. And you're telling me, Rava, you need a diras arai. So this is not a diras arai. This is a diras keva. This should be possible according to you. It's nothing to do with the height. It has to depend on the material that's being used. So Amalei, so Rava's response is, Hachi kamino lecha. This is what I'm trying to say to you. Ad esim amma, up until 20 amos, the adam osa dirasa dirasarai. Person makes a dirasarai. But kiavilei diras keva, nami nafik. When a person makes a diras keva, he's also yote. That's fine, because at least he has the option of making a dirasarai when it's below 20 amos. However, lamalam esim amma, if a person is making a sukkah that's above 20 amos, the adam osa dirasa diras keva, he has to make it. The only way it's going to stand is if he makes it a Diras Keva, permanent dwelling. When he makes it, even if he makes it in a permanent, sorry, in a temporary way, it won't be good as well. Okay. Should we do the bottom tosas? What are we doing with time here? 6:23. Maybe we'll go back to then. If you come, maybe if you have time, we'll come back to the tosas. Important tosas is talking about whether or not there's a if the sukkah is so thick, the schach is so thick, whether or not you have to, should we read it? Okay, we won't read it. But he talks about, part of that pasuk says it has to rain, has to have the ability for it to rain in between. Let's see, make your schach so thick that it can't rain in between, whether or not that's going to be good or not as a sukkah.
We're not talking about the schach, is
it? No, but based on the pasuk that sail, the pasuk above that says you need sail, the pasuk also talks about rain. So whether or not rain has to be a potentially possibility for it to be kasher schach. Because the Gemara in Mishnah and Tanis tells us that if it rains on sukkah, so then it's going to be, you have to you get kicked out of the sukkah. You can't eat. Based on that, it's interesting to us. Okay, let's go back here, though. The Gemara on the top of Beis on the Beis says, Kulo karaba lo amri. All the other, we had three opinions. We had Rabba, we had Rabba, we had Abba, Rabbi Zera. Right, three we had? Right. Rabbi Zera, Abaye.
Abaye asked Rabbi Zera, but we had three.
Okay, Rabba, Rabbi Zera, and Rava. So those are the three opinions. So Kula, Kiraba, everybody argued on Rabba that you don't learn from Lamani Dudor Sechem. He thought that you have to recognize that you're sitting in a schach. Why? Hahu Yedila Dorosi. That Yedila Lamani Yedu wasn't talking about my recognition of sitting in a schach, sitting in an enclosed area. That Lamani Yedu is referring to knowing Ladoros, which Rashi explains to mean. See, Rashi says, Hahu, top line, La b'yadiyah di yeshiva sukkah kamar, not recognizing my sitting in a sukkah, Ela b'yadiyah s'doros habon hekev sukkahs anani akavod hanas lavos, that we should be familiar, we should be aware of the that in the midbar, that we are protected by the anani akavod. To know that idea. But not that while you're actually sitting in the sukkah, you have to recognize the schach, you have to recognize the defanos, but simply just knowing the reason. This might be the source as to have the shame, you have to have the kavana of why we're sitting in the sukkah. So that's why they reject Rabba as not a good reasoning of 20 amos. Kirebi Zera. What about Rabbi Zera? Why did they reject Rabbi Zera? Nami Lamri. They didn't like Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera is the one who held, based on the pasuk Letzel, the schach definition of a sukkah is when the schach provides shade. Why did they reject Rabbi Zera? Hahuli Mos HaMashiach hu dechseva. That pasuk was in reference to the Mos HaMashiach that Rashi explains three lines from the top. The Mos HaMashiach, Osam sukkos yiyuhu Letzel leonag ulemistor aval sukkos mitzos ena Letzel. That was referring to not the sukkah as we know it, a sukkah of mitzvah. That's referring to stam sukkah that in the future we're going to have sukkahs that are going to be for our enjoyment, to get relaxing, sit in a little hammock and have some nice shade. Those types of sukkahs that it was referring to. But it was not referring to a sukkah of the mitzvah. So you can't bring a raya from that pasuk. Rabbi Zeira responds, the Gemara says, Im Kain, if what you're saying is true, that the sukkah in that pasuk is referring to only Motz Mashiach, when it would be sitting in the shade of enjoyment, but not a sukkah of mitzvah, Im Kain, Le Makra, V'chuppah, Tieletzel Yomam. It should have said chuppah, some type of awning. My V'sukkah, why did Dafka use the language of sukkah, Tieletzel Yomam? Shmas minatarti, to learn two things. One thing is to learn that in the future, le'asa level, the Motz Mashiach, we're going to be sitting in some types of huts with some tzel. And the second halacha is that a sukkah, the definition of a sukkah is l'shem tzel, has to provide shade.
What does it say, sukkah tiel tzel yomam?
That's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Previous amud we had quoted. Okay. Then the Gemara says, so that's, right, Kurava. Why did they reject Rava? Rava said about Diras Arai versus Diras Keva. Nami Lamri, they didn't like Rava's opinion because Mishim Kusha Debai. Abai had asked that question about, but according to you, but he asked the question about if you make it from Mechita Shabarzel, if you make a small hut made out of metal, that's Keva, that's Ripasal, how are you going to explain that? So Abai wiggled out of that, Rava wiggled out of that, but because of that question, others did not like that approach. So neither one of them is, no one agrees to all, there's no one opinion where everybody agrees to, but there are three opinions which each have their weakness to it. So the Gemara says, Kaman Azla Ahad Amar Rabbi Yoshia. Who does Rabbi Yoshia hold of? Rabbi Yoshia says as follows, Amar Rav, Machlokes B'she'en Defanos Magiyos L'Schach. The entire debate between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda about above 20 amos as being possible is only true when the walls do not connect to the Schach. You have the walls go up a certain amount, you have an airspace, and then the schach ends up being a total of 20 amos high. That's where there's a debate. But the fanos megiyos l'schach, if the walls go continuously up until the schach, there's no airspace in between, afilu l'mal l'esim amma, even though the schach might be above 20 amos, k'sheira, it's kosher. So why? So Gemara explains, come on, who's this like? Ki rabba, it must be like rabba, d'amar mishum d'lo shilta be'enai. Rabbi held, the problem is if it's too high, you're not going to notice the schach. But the case here, v'cheven de defanos magios l'schach, mishlot shalti be'ena. But since the walls go up to the schach, so your eyes are going to be watching the wall, and you're going to travel along the wall and end up leading to the schach. But if there's an airspace, you're going to go, your eyes will follow the wall. And if you see an airspace, you'll stop looking up anymore, you'll think it's done, because since the schach is so high. But again,
who wrote the Mishnah? Who's the Tanakama?
We don't know the time. Stam Tanakama is usually what Rabbi Meir, right? But so here too, I remember that being machlokas as well here. I think Rashi says by you looking at the wall, it's going to lead your eyes up to the schach. I think the Ra'ah learns differently. I think the Ra'ah says that if there's an airspace, so you don't feel a sense of enclosement. But if the walls go all the way up to the schach, it's not that your eyes are going to follow the wall up into the schach, it's you're going to feel the sense of enclosed since you're completely shut. There's no airspace coming in. That's how the Ra interprets this Gemara, if I remember correctly. Okay. Interesting Tosos towards the top. You see Tosos Dibur Maschav Chevan. V'chevan defanos magios l'schach mishlat shalot be'ena. Your eyes are going to follow along the wall, according to Rashi at least, and you'll see the schach. Why don't you say the same halacha? I have a candle. The halacha is a ner, ner's Chanukah's puzzle when it's above 20 amos. The ner Chanukah is not just hanging in midair. There's some type of beam or something. It's holding on top of a wall, let's say, that's being held on top of. So why don't I say that my eyes are going to travel along the wall and catch the ner Chanukah on top? And why not by the mavoi where there's a beam? The beam is on top of a wall, so my eyes are going to follow the wall and see the beam on top. We should say the same halacha there. So Tosos answers, Dehasam kora tefach lo shal beina. That kora is only a tefach. It's a fist. It's not very big. It's not going to be noticeable. Kamod besukah derachva tuva. But the schach is so wide above, so the combination of being wide and the combination of the walls reaching it, those two together are going to help it be noticed. But if the ner and the kora is so small, even though the wall does reach it, it's not going to be noticeable. Okay, the Gemara now asks, Kaman Azla, who is the following opinion go like? Kaman azla hada amar Rav Huna amar Rav Machlokas b'shein ba'ela arba amos al arba amos. The Machlokas is only when there is only exactly 4x4. 4 amos by 4 amos, that's a very small sukkah. That's the only time there's a debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Aval yesh ba yosem me'arba amos. Let's say there's more than 4x4. Me yosem me'arba amos al arba amos. Afilu l'malem esem amma k'shera. Even if it's above 20 amos, it's going to be kosher. So who's this like? Why would it make any difference to the size of the sukkah in terms of the height? Keman ki Rabbi Zera. This is like Rabbi Zera. Damar mishim tzelhu. The chayin de ravicha ika tzel sukkah. Rabbi Zera is the one who held it's all about the shade, that the schach has to be the one providing the shade. Since it's wider, so even though the walls might be very high, there's more surface area of the schach, so you're going to get the sun from the schach. I have a picture here, right? No picture. Okay, but I think you get the idea, right? If it's very small, then the walls are so high and very narrow, very skinny, the shade is going to come from the... Yeah?
I think so, if you measure it.
All right, let's say it's 6x6, let's say. 6 feet. And you do one more of these, yeah. Maybe, or so.
The length is 6 feet. Maybe that one I'll speak up.
This is probably so 1.5.
Yeah.
So you get two more tables, probably. It's probably 1.5 feet wide each. So you have two more tables. You get a...
It's a nice size of a sofa.
Yeah. If you assume it's a foot only, though, the arm is only a foot, and then it's 4x4. 4x4 feet, that's a little bit small, that's a bit tight. That's like around here.
This is more than a feet.
Right, but again, it depends who, when they speak about amos, it depends whose amos we're using. So there's some set value that...
A feet is the size of the shoe?
Hmm?
A feet is the size of a shoe. A feet is the size of a shoe, usually, no? Let's say you measure feet.
A feet.
A feet or a foot, what's the difference?
Feet, it means more than 1 foot. Like 3 feet.
Oh.
1 foot.
I see. So foot is the size of a shoe. And feet is more than 1 foot.
Right.
It's not exactly the size of a shoe.
Huh?
It's not.
No? Exactly. So you're walking, you know, like, how many feet?
Yeah. It's not.
Okay. So again, yeah. So again, the opinion that thinks that if it's wider than 4 amos, 4x4, even then Chachamim will allow you to have a taller sukkah, because then the shade will be provided by the schach, and that would be kosher. Then the Gemara asks, Keman azla hadam rav chanan bar rabba. The following, who's this like? Amar rav machlokes b'she'enu machzekes elakadei rosha v'rubo v'shulchano. The debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of the height only applies when the sukkah is only able to fit his head, most of his body, in a table. Aval machzekes yosem mechdei rosha v'rubo v'shulchano. The sukkah is big enough to hold his head, most of his body, and his shulchan, afilu malam esem ama k'shera. Then it would be permitted. It'd be even, Chacham would agree, above 20 amos would be allowed. Who does that like? Kemand lo k'chad. This isn't like none of the opinions above. So does Rashi explain why? Right, so Rashi explains, you see, Kaman de lo kachad. So he says, Mehanach de la'el, he's not like any of the opinions above, de mefarshi taima de esmama. Dimishim mishilta enai, if it's about seeing it with your eye, bishira de yosemich de rosha rubo, vil shachano lo shilta. So even though it's very wide, even the sukkah is very wide, it's still, if the schach is high, your eyes are not going to catch it unless the walls are going up alongside of the schach. There's still no shade because it's not wide enough yet. Enough room for me to squeeze in a sukkah, for me, my head, and most of my body, a table, that's much smaller, as we just said, than a 4x4, even if it's a small 4x4 amos, even if it's 4 feet by 4 feet, fitting your head, most of your body in a table, squeeze in there. I think I have a nice, a funny picture, like an old man sitting in there, like this picture here, I think this is it. Guy's like squeezed in there. So that's smaller than a 4x4. So even Rabbi Zera will agree, you're not going to be, if it's high up, you're not going to be getting shade from the schach. Only if it's 4x4 will you be getting shade from the schach. So even Rabbi Zera will agree in this case that this will be puzzle according to the Chachamim. Okay. B'yoshia pliga the Rav Huna. Rav Chanan and Rabbi Huda. I understand why Rabbi Yoshia argues on Rabbi Huna. Rav Chanan bar Abba, the inhu kayahav shiru b'mashchu, they gave a shir in terms of the width and the length. So again, Rav Huna told us it had to be 4x4 amos. That was Rav Huna's statement. And this last opinion of Rav Chanan bar Abba told us about the shulchan ruba rosho. So Rabbi Yoshia, he said, no, it has nothing to do with the width and the area of the sukkah. Rabbi Yoshia thought it depended on the walls. Completely different. So we understand why Rabbi Yoshia gave a different explanation of the machlokes than these two. V'ihu lo kayav shir b'mashcha. So Rabbi Yoshia himself did not give the shir in terms of area. He thought it depended on whether the walls touched the schach. Ella, however, Rav Huna, Rav Chanan bar Rabba. So what's the machlokes between those two? One of them thought it this a 4x4 amos was the machlokes, and one of them thought it was machlokes about when there's the person could fit simply his head, most of his body, a table. What's the machlokes about how much the area of the sukkah has to be? What's that debate about? So to say, Neima suggests behechsher sukkah kamifkli. They're arguing about the size, what the area, the width that has to be of the sukkah. Demar saver one held hechsher sukkah ba'ar amos. Umar saver hechsher sukkah machsekas rusha v'ruba v'shulchana. So Rav Huna felt that a sukkah has to be a minimum of 4x4. That's why the debate was about 4x4. And Rav Chanan bar Abba thought the minimum amount of the sukkah had to be to fit much smaller, enough to fit his body, his head, and his shulchan. That's what the initial suggestion of the Gemara is in terms of the debate between these two. Or says, no, not sure, that's not what the debate is. The Chuli Alma, everybody agrees, Hechsher sukkah, Rusha, Ruba, v'shulchan. Even Rav Huna thinks the minimum requirement of a sukkah has to be enough to squeeze the guy's head, body, and table. Sure. So what's the machlokas here? V'hacha b'hacha mifli. They're arguing about the following. D'mar savar, pligi, that Chachamim and Rabbi Huda argue when the shear is that small, enough to fit his head in. Aval yose merosh rubal v'shulchano divrei hakol k'shera. But larger than that shear, everybody agrees that if it's 20 amos above, it's going to be kosher. That's the opinion of Rav Chanan. And Mar Savar, Rav Huna thought, no, Savar, you're right, it's a kosher sukkah, merusha v'ruba v'shulchano, arba amos pligi. But the debate between Rabbi Huda and Chachamim is still, but it carries from shulchano up until dal by dal, that's where the debate is. Aval yosem dal, once it's more than 4 amos, divrei hakol k'shera.
A little bit confusing. Let's
review this again. When it comes to the shear of the sukkah, the size of the sukkah, it doesn't have to be so big enough for the guy to squeeze his head in, most of his body, and his shulchan. That's, everybody agrees, the minimum shear of a sukkah. The debate is how they understand the machlokas of Yehuda and Chachamim. Where is their debate? At what point will Chachamim agree to Rabbi Yehuda that above 20 amos will actually be kosher? So the first opinion thought that if it's anything bigger than enough to fit his body in, that's even Chachamim will agree. Rav Huna thought, no, the Chachamim still say it's possible until it gets to 4x4.
What?
The Chacham will say it's possible, 20 amos is possible, until it gets to 4x4. So let's say this is a small sukkah.
Bigger than 4x4, everybody agrees.
Everybody agrees exactly four is right. And everybody agrees when it's, let's call this sukkah the small sukkah. This fits in the guy's body.
Yeah.
Everybody agrees this is, the Chacham thinks it's possible. And 4x4, let's say this is a 4x4, this table. Everybody agrees.
Chacham, say it again, we got to this.
This is the little small table. The old man fits in there. Okay. He sticks his body in a little table. He squeezes in there.
Okay.
Everybody agrees this exact shear, it's possible if it's more than 20 amos, according to the Chacham.
If it's more than 20 amos, okay.
And let's say this big table here is going to be 4x4 amos.
Okay.
Everybody will agree.
If it's 20.
Fine. 20. Everybody agree that it's good. It's a kosher sukkah if it's 20 amos high.
Even if it's 50?
Yep.
Even if it's 50?
Yeah.
Okay.
The machlokes is, what about this size? Everything in between this size and this size. What about this area? This is valid puzzle, and this is valid kasha.
Okay.
What about anything bigger than this, but smaller than this?
Okay, so what's the machlokes?
So one opinion thinks that Chum say it's puzzle, 20 amos is puzzle, until you get to be 4x4.
Oh, so from this is much, let's say this is 2x3. So only Chum say 4x4 and up.
Correct.
I understand.
Others say, no. Once you get bigger than this, even
what is,
will
what
be
is this? What is bigger than this? What is this?
This is, I don't know, the guy squeezes inside. It's a 2x2. So if it's 2x3, it's okay. Or 2x4, it's okay. So that's machlokes. Because that area between the small sukkah and the 4x4 sukkah, do the chum think that's going to be kasher or pasul when it's 20 amos or above?
Uh-huh.
So Gemara asks the following question. Bryce, we actually referred to this a week ago in Yuma. Meisive, Sukkah shehi gvo lemalam esrim amah, psula. If a sukkah is above 20 amos, it's a pasul sukkah. And Rabbi Yehuda, machshir ad arbaim v'chamishim amah, they said it's kasher up until 40 or 50 amos. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ma'isa behilni amalka, that we referred to this a week ago, as I said. There's once in a story with the Hilni amalka, Belud, shehayisa sukkasa gvo esrim amah, shehi had a sukkah that's 20 amos high. And the zakenim, the chachamim, went in to her sukkah, and they didn't say a thing to her. So it seems like this Rabbi Yehuda brings this as a support that must be that it's a kasher sukkah because they didn't say anything to them.
Yeah, but that's probably a big sukkah. Chachamim nichnasu, many people nichnasu
into it. So it's very wide. We'll
it's
see.
Very wide, so it's
so that's part of the,
to everybody.
So that's part of the discussion. Well, what must So the Gemara says, Amulet, continuing in the discussion, Amulo, Misham Raya, you're going to bring a proof from that case of Hilni Amalka, Isha Haisa, Uptur Minasukka. She's a woman, and women are Pater Minasukka. It's Mitzvah Asay, Shazman Grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah, and women are Pater from Mitzvah Asay, Shazman Grama. So of course they don't have to say anything. If she was, she could certainly sit in the sukkah, but she doesn't have to. Certainly Chacham wouldn't say anything to her that you have to make your sukkah a kasher thing. There's no obligation on her. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahen, Rabbi Huda responds back to the Chachamim, Valo Shiva Banim Hayula. She had seven children. She wasn't living by herself. She had seven sons. Ve'od, Kol Ma'ase Lo Asa El Al Pi HaChachamim. And everything she did, she always followed the opinion of the Chachamim. What does the Chacham have to do with her seven children? What does that mean? So, Lamali Lemisne Ve'od, Kol Ma'ase Lo Asa El Al Pi HaChachamim. What's the Gemara adding here by saying that she always followed the Chachamim? She had seven children, great, and she followed the Chachamim. What's the point? So, Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, this is what you mean to explain. Maybe you're going to suggest she had seven children. They're all very young. So the seven young children. So just because she had seven boys doesn't mean they had to sit in the sukkah. They were young. So Gemara says, came in the Shiva Havu. Sorry. Again, Hachi Kamru. So that's why they didn't have to say anything. Came in the Shiva Havu. Since she had seven, so let's say she had seven, they were born a year apart. To make it as small as possible. So let's say, you know, doing the math, so let's say a year apart. So then one of the sons has to be at the age of 6, 7 at least, and 6 and 7 is a typical age one would be chayv in the sukkah. So, v'chi tamer katan shein atzarach l'imo midir banhu. So what do you mean? So obviously the only chayv deraisas exist. First off, the Gemara assumes there are no twins or triplets or anything. It could have been seven, you know, at one time. The Gemara assumes they're all born by themselves. So either way, the Gemara says, so maybe you're going to do a katan, she'en otzarach l'imo, midir banan, demechayiv. So let's say the oldest one is 7. So there's no chiv derais on a katan. Anybody under the age of 13 is not chayiv in sukkah. So, and therefore, that's why they say nothing. Okay, the chum came in. They saw Hilni Amalka, so she's not chayiv, so they didn't say a thing to her. And they saw 7 children, they're all under the age of 13, so no need to say anything to them because they're not chayiv midir derais in sukkah. So that's why the Brisa adds, v'hi midirbana lo mishkacha. So maybe you're going to tell me that she didn't listen to the Chachamim. Her sons were chayiv and chinuch midirbana, but she didn't listen. That's why the Brisa added, tashma, v'od, furthermore, kol ma'ase lo asa el al pi Chachamim. So all the things she did was only al pi Chachamim. So yes, since the Chachamim said nothing to them, Rabbi Huzis all explained this, it must be that what they were doing was okay. Even though the sukkah was 40 amos, 50 amos high, it was still a good sukkah. Because otherwise the Chacham would have said something to her because they knew that she had trained her children, she had raised her children to follow and do chinuch properly. Even though it was only chim and derbanam, she followed all the mitzvahs derbanam. That's what the Gemara is explaining.
So, if in regards to Chachamim, it's possible, why didn't he say anything?
Well, because the Chacham felt that it was a kasher sukkah. It's 40 amos, 50 amos high. So we'll get there in a second, but just before you go right there, so this is what we explained last time when Yuma, that this is the raya you see. Well, Hilni Amalka, she was doing chinuch. We spoke of, is there a chiv chinuch on a mother? So this is one of the rayas that they bring. The Miri writes in Nazir that, yes, there's a chiv chinuch on a mother. I said last time that there's a rashi in the beginning of Chagig, which seems to imply the same thing, talks about bringing a child to do a lila regal. When you go to the Shlosh Regal, when you go up to Har Bayis, to bring karbanos, so you have to bring your children, as long as they're the age of chinuch. So one of the shirim that are given, how old he has to be, I'm trying to remember this now. Let me get it out. Quickly get it. Okay, so the Gemara says, the first Mishnah, so anybody who is able to go on his father's shoulders, according to Beis Shammai, will go to, he's chayv in the sukkah, chayv in Elila Rega rather, and Beis Hillel says anybody who's able to hold on to his father's hand and walk, he's the age of someone who's chayv to go to Elila Rega. So Rashi writes here, aval mikan ve'elach, af api she'ena chayv al minatora, hitilu chachamim al aviv, ve'al imo lechancha b'mitzvos, writes Rashi. So he adds an imo as well. This is a raya. I'm not sure if anybody brings this as a raya, but it seems to me a clear raya from Rashi that there is a chiv on the mother to do chinuch. Others say no. Tosfos Yeshayahu, we pointed out last week also, said no, there's no raya from here. It's possible that the story was with Hilni Amalka, but she also had a husband, and the husband was the one doing chinuch. He happened to not have been there at the time, or perhaps Hilni Amalka was so chashiv, they didn't really acknowledge her husband's existence, but the chinuch was really being done by her husband. And others say, no, there was no real chinuch. She was just doing chinuch ba'alma. She wasn't really being mekayim the actual mitzvah of chinuch, but she was still she's doing things anyways, but not the actual mitzvah of chinuch. Okay, one other point here, I guess we still have time. The last Rashi on the page, the very important line in terms of the nature of chinuch, he says, midrabanan, the very last Rashi, she's kiku lahargil sakatan lemitzvah, shehu roi la, that in order to regulate, kidei she yehe mechunach viragil mitzvos, Rashi tells us what's the point in the mitzvos in order to regulate the children to get comfortable and used to doing mitzvos. So others say, no, the idea of chinuch is that there's simply a chiv that was placed on the children to do mitzvahs. That Chum said the age of 13, midiraisa, the age of 13 is when you chayv mitzvahs. The Chum decided to extend that chiv on the children, or do you say that the chiv is really on the parents to really regulate the children? It's not coming out so clear now, but this is important Rashi, and I'm forgetting the whole issue, but this Rashi does play a big role in understanding the sugya of chinuch. So that being said, the Gemara says, this whole discussion, so what's the relevance of this discussion about Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim in terms of the sukkah of Hilni Amalka? So the Gemara says, three lines from the bottom, Bishl malaman damar bishayin defanos magiyas leschach machlokes. So according to the one above who said the whole debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is a situation where the walls do not reach the schach. So I understand that this case here, so Machlokas Darcha Shemalka Leisha Besukah Shein Defanos Magiach Leschach. It's very common that a queen will sit in a sukkah that has some airspace. It's very common that they sat that way. Mishum Avira, to allow for some wind, to some air to get into the area. So according to that, we understand why they're debating about this case of Hilni Amalka, because it's very likely that the case was where their walls did not reach the schach. But El Man Amar Besukah Katana Machlokas. According to the other opinions, that the only debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham was only when it's a very small sukkah. Either it's a small sukkah, you can only fit the body and the head in the table, or it's a small sukkah 4x4. But anything bigger than those, even the Chacham will agree it's a good sukkah. So the chidarcha shel malka leishi b'sukkah ktana? Is the malka sitting in a small sukkah? Certainly not. She was sitting in a large sukkah. And in a large sukkah, even the Chacham would agree it's a kasher sukkah. So this serves to be a raya that the machlokes is only about when the walls touch the schach or not. That's the debate, because it's impossible to say that we're talking about a small sukkah. So the Gemara says, should we go weiter or should we should, yeah?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba bar Rav Ada lo nitzcha ela l'sukkah hasuya kitonios. No, they actually had a large sukkah. See, look at Rashi, three lines from the top. The kitonios shaba. Sukkah gedola, the name is Sibasa, v'kidonos ketana b'sochel tznias. She had a one large sukkah, and then she had little small huts within the larger ones for tznias. She used to sit inside of them, even though she herself was sitting in a sukkah inside another sukkah, and she herself may not have been keeping the.
What is the last word in the Rashi in this line?
Wait 1 second.
Itba.
Which one? Sorry.
The last line in that Rashi.
Yeah, v'hik v'kitunas ha-yasa, the lusher yashav. She would sit in the small one. V'afagai Rashi continues and says, the psula, even though it's pasul, lo ich paslam, the isha batura min ha-sukkah. She's part from a sukkah. Okay. So the Gemara says, and maybe we should stop here, because this goes on for another 8 lines. And anyone, if Harry comes tomorrow, so this way we have to go 2 ahead. So let's stop it here. So right now, we're, I guess, in the middle, where it seems to be a kashya against the opinions that felt that the machlokas is in the small sukkah, but when it's a large sukkah, even the chacham will agree it's a kashya sukkah. So it's very strange to say that a malka sits in a small sukkah. So this seems to, again, support the opinion that thinks, no, the debate is only about whether when the walls don't reach the schach. And it is dark, because she'll have malka to sit in such a sukkah. And that's why they're debating about this. But certainly it was a large sukkah, and the Gemara comes along and says, no, we're talking about a case of small sukkahs, which we'll, I guess, go further and discuss tomorrow. Okay.